My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Ball game over. Hayter picks up another save for the Astros. That is 17 straight for Josh. The Astros win it 6-3. They have won 16 out of 20. They are 5 games over for the first time all year. Plummer, that's a nice sweep to start this homestand. 9 straight home wins for the Astros.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we did. We took care of business. We play well. I thought that we got some big hits in big moments. We got, you know, pretty good pitching on in the front end and the back end. And this is, you know, we did exactly what we intended to do.
And now the Astros are a season high 5 games above 500. That, of course, your Astro manager, Joe Espada, on the heels of Todd Callis, Jeff Blum, badass. On the call last night, once again, Space City Home Network. You heard it there. Callis summed it up perfectly in the final call, Seth. 9th straight home win. You'd mentioned this earlier as well. They've won now 7 of their last 8 series, 16 of their last 20 ball games. They're fantastic. I was looking at a tweet this morning from Mark Berman, formerly of Fox 26, here in Houston, obviously, the former sports director over there, said from the Astros, 42-25 since April 27th. That is the best winning percentage in the American League West, second best in the entire American League during that span, and 24-11 now since June 1st. That winning percentage of .686 is the best mark in Major League Baseball. That is why this is an intriguing story that the Astros are still currently in the midst of writing themselves. This is fantastic.
Yeah, this is really good. And I don't think we even mentioned that, by the way, Yordan wasn't out there last night. So you did that versus a bad baseball team. Marlins, very, very bad. 29 games back from the Phillies in their division right now. So you take all of that with a grain of salt, but they've been doing it with pretty good consistency over these over these last couple weeks, and now it's extended on many weeks. I kind of like being in a position like this because it's not like you have to search or grasp for reasons to be really nervous about this baseball team. If we go back to 2022, and you're doing everything right the first half of the season, you've got a very, very comfy lead, all of that. And at that point, you're just kind of wringing your hands over the center field position. I remember our listeners getting upset with us about various little minor details or problems or tweaks with the team that, you always get people that are, come on, guys, just enjoy the ride. And meanwhile, the Astros were playing like .500 baseball over the back half of that, not last year, but 2022. Like we were in a position where things were really, really good, but there were, as there is in any baseball team, always things that you have to worry about. Now there are clear and present dangers, and there's any different number of ways things could go wrong, but there are also theoretically reserves coming back. I think the only ones we feel really good about are Kyle Tucker at some point, Luis Garcia at some point, Jordan, if you even want to include him in that same class, I'm being really careful about, because I was the guy the day after Kyle Tucker got hit in the leg. I said he'd be playing that. I thought he was going to play that very same day. It'd be no big deal.
Well, you remember in that instance, after he pounded the baseball off of his shin, he tried to give it a go. Like, they were like, hey, you good? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And he starts to walk back up to the batter's box and he's like, yeah, this sucks. No.
It's always, you know, Jake Myers did that same thing too. Remember, he was in the outfield when he got injured.
Yeah.
Playoffs. He almost tried to do the throwing motion, and he was going to try to be a hero and stay out there. And then it was like 18 months before he was back and fully healthy.
Yeah. It's like he made the conscious decision and it was the right one. It's like, I can't really rookie of the year this thing and float the balls from the outfield if in fact they're hit to me and I need to get it in quickly.
Yeah.
So the best decision made there by Jake Myers, even though it took a couple of almost 3 years before he regained that little flash of who we thought he was going to be.
Yeah. So, I haven't listened to the Espada audio yet. You had something?
Yeah. So he kind of alluded to it there in the clip that we played to start the segment about guys doing what they were supposed to do, getting some hits in big time situations. He kind of expanded on it here with this clip, talking about hitting with people on base and pitching good while people were on base.
Yeah, putting people away, making pitches when we need to. And on the other side of that, on the flip side, we did a really good job hitting with people on base. You know, sac flies, getting guys over, getting two out hits. You know, those were things that in the beginning of the season we were on the opposite side of things, but now we have turned the corner and now we executing on the pitching side, we're getting big hits when we need to, and we're playing good baseball at the right time.
That's what I thought was cool, man, because with Jordan out of the lineup, it was good to see Singleton and Myers and Salazar, Loperfido, all last night, Seth, responsible for the run production for the Astros. He mentioned the sac flies. Singleton and Loperfido had a couple of them. They just found a way, and they capitalized on the Marlins' mistakes.
Yeah, the part to be a dark cloud over it or what have you is... If this was against a really good team, I don't know if Blas and Dubin and even frankly Abreu let up a couple hits. I don't know if that performance would have won you a game versus a really good team. But that's where you have to capitalize on these opportunities versus bad teams. You get into the playoffs and you can get away with just having four starters. I guess Dubin's the guy that I'm most still intrigued by. And kind of like in a Jake Bloss way, I'm trying to be as patient as possible with every given moment. But like I feel like there's still something more there with Dubin, even though it doesn't always show up in the results. There's a scrappiness element there that you just look at him and you're like, oh yeah, this guy looks like my favorite lawn care dude that I want to maybe help him out with his community college tuition a little bit or something, because he's just a good kid. That's what Sean Dubin reminds me of. I feel like I need to adopt him in some way.
You know, Doobie's got that Duck Dynasty thing kind of going for him. Yeah. He's 28. He throws really, really hard. Just intends to be just all out wild. Could be wild in the zone, could be wild outside of the zone. I think you mentioned this to me before when we were talking about this dude. He just, it's that little bit of something with him that you look at him and it's like, do we really know where this is going? Because he could absolutely shut you down, sit you down back in the dugout, make you look and feel foolish. But at the same time, he could serve up a big giant meatball.
So when we're watching this game last night, and for those of you who haven't been on, Sean still doesn't have power. If you're listening right now and you're without power, Sean has solidarity with you right
with
now.
You.
So he wasn't able to watch the game. But Brandy and I are watching, and it seemed like, man, Blas might just be trying to be a little bit he's trying to be a little too professional and precise, and it looks like he's nibbling and isn't doing a good enough job for these. Remember, the Marlins haven't seen Blas all that much other than his whatever they'd watched of his 3 2/3 innings earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And they were just gonna sit, you know, they were running up his pitch count. And they weren't going to swing at anything sketchy. Blas basically said the same thing afterwards.
I was just nibbling too much. Like, yeah, get 0-2, 1-2, and then, like, cut her in the dirt instead of just below zone. So just not nibbling. Not trying to get too cute with it. Just going right after guys, even when it's 0-2, 1-2.
You know, the other thing, too, was I always get nervous when rookie pitchers are up there shaking off multiple calls by the catcher.
Yeah.
And it's not like this is Martin Maldonado out there or anything. It's Cesar Salazar. So it's not, there's, you know, these guys are a little bit more compatriots or on the same level. But that makes me nervous. I don't like watching. I just want my rookie pitcher to go out and do what the catcher tells him to do. I give him a little bit of a break because it was Cesar Salazar. This is Bloss on the communication between him and Salazar.
Yeah, I trust him. So, and we go over a scouting report before every game, so we don't need to say too much during the game. But he was a wall back there for sure because there was a couple pitches that were pretty short, and he was getting to him. I was impressed.
It was he had to rely on his athleticism for some of that. It wasn't a comfortable feeling those first couple innings, man. It felt like, oh boy, this really, some of these passed balls and oh boy, this could get ugly, but they pulled it out.
Do you know Salazar's routinely lauded for his preparation, kind of like Martin Maldonado was, and his ability to handle the staff. And so that gives me the confidence, even with, a guy like Jake Bloss, who, very young guy and what now up to 14 professional games under his belt, two in the majors, that he's got a familiarity with Salazar. Salazar's been in the system for a little bit. And I would imagine, Bloss has a better relationship than we're giving it credit for. And I just think there was something with Salazar when you saw him in spring training that you get this aura of kind of professionalism with him and confidence that he's gonna take care of things behind the dish. And that's kind of what I felt like you've gotten from him and what he's shown you at the plate. I know it's a small sample size, but the guy's hitting .318. And he always seems to be another one of those guys set to come up with a timely hit, if you will. And for that reason, I've really enjoyed like this catching situation this season for the Astros between this trio of Diaz, Caratini, and Salazar. I'm almost going to be a little bit sad when Caratini comes back because it means we're not going to get a chance to see Salazar.
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I think you alluded to this earlier, the fact that the Astros only had 5 hits in this game. I think that's another good sign, though, is that they hit with runners on base, compared to earlier in the season where they're doing a hell of a job loading up the bases and then doing nothing at all. And it's nice to be able to hear Blum, when Altuve comes up and cites that he's been, I think, hitting over 400 with runners in scoring position as of late. And he's 350. Bregman is over 400 in his career. And both those guys came up big with runners on base last night. Altuve got help. I think they ended up ruling it an error. But Yeah, that's it. Just it's like now the rubber hits the road with a much better team in the Rangers, even though they're not all that great this year. And then after the All-Star break, the huge series versus the Mariners.
No doubt, it is a huge series. And just to update you on where things lie in the standings, the Mariners, they destroyed the Halos last night. I think it was 11-0 at last peak when my internet was working. Strohs remain two games behind the M's. And 2.5 games behind the Red Sox because, well, those jerks won as well last night.
You put something in the show prep that kind of annoyed me. I'm going to tell you this.
What's that?
We're talking about the current state of the organization.
Yeah.
Forrest Whitley tossed another scoreless inning last night for Sugarland. And my immediate thought was like, well, there is zero. As much as people have written off Lance McCullers, and I understand that, I still hold a soft place in my heart for Lance, and I know how much he could add.
Guess who's freaking pitching, Seth? Guess who's throwing baseballs of consequence right now, Seth?
We've seen this story before, man. I think at this point, you just gotta dress Whitley up in a nice dress and parade him around the ball and hope you find a suitor. There are a couple things that have happened lately. That make me nervous about Dana Brown not having been here for the duration, even though I really like a lot of the stuff Dana Brown has done. One is that I worry that he's going to think, oh, yeah, boy, Forrest Whitley's just had some bad luck, right? He wasn't here during the COVID year when Brent Strom just kind of threw it out there that, like, I don't know why Forrest Whitley didn't show up in shape. Like, Forrest Whitley came back out of shape after having nothing but time on his hands to work out during the COVID break. And all the injury after injury after injury. I'm 100% done with Forrest Whitley. Maybe I'll be wrong. I'd be happy to be wrong about it. But we've just been through this so many times.
I understand why you're done. But you're being done with Forrest Whitley has much more to do with him literally being in the Lance McCullers boat. By him always being hurt, not pitching. And then, look, when the Astros brought him up for like that cup of coffee earlier this season, what was it, like mid-April, right? That was after he'd only thrown like two or three games in the minors this season, and he came up and he was ass for the inning of work or a third of inning of work, whatever he'd gotten. But this is why I put it in there. What he's done since he came back from the IL, 129 ERA over seven innings. He's allowed just four hits, one earned run, just walked three, struck out seven. He's not given up the home run ball. Just one home run ball in his last nine appearances since he'd given up three his first two this season.
But like, none of that shocks me, you know? He also has the capacity to have a double-digit ERA in AAA ball. You know?
He's
just injury after injury. But this is the thing. It's not just the injuries. It's like the weird stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
When it's... okay, his Adderall or whatever it was suspension early on. Then there's him not showing up in shape during the COVID season. And then just all the other injuries that go along with all of that. And he's done nothing. Okay, great. He's got a 0.0 ERA and two-thirds of an inning's work in the major leagues. That's awesome. Good. There's some team out there that's going to think that they're like, boy, look at this kid. If it really works out for him, this is the time. This is the time we can capitalize it. And just go ahead and let that team take on that pile of headaches.
Yeah, maybe. But so long as a guy's throwing 99 miles per hour, even after multiple injuries sustained, he's going to get an opportunity. And I just assume the Astros give him that opportunity. And they need to call his ass back up when things are good. Because things were not good when they originally called him up. And that, look, that's why it wasn't impressive. God. Right now, he's impressive. He's doing what he's supposed to do, expected to do at Sugarland. So I want to see him do it with the ball club now.
You know, the hard part with him is it's crazy because he's just been in the organization forever.
Yeah.
26 years old. You know, I have to remind myself that, all right, he's 26. I don't know. The very same things that kept Blanco from becoming what he was until he was age 29 or 30. Okay.
Yes.
All right. If I could try to forget that and say, all right, he's 26 years old. There's still potential upside for this young man.
Yeah, keep the mentality. You and I had this conversation earlier this week, right, about a Houston Texan. I can't remember exactly who, but it's like, Yeah, you know what? Maybe a change of scheme, you know, is going to do this guy some good. Oh, was it Derek Barnett we were discussing, who is 28 years old? And maybe he just discovers, like, his badassery with D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans. It was the Jason Babin comparison that you'd made, remember? Who Babin was ass here, and then he goes to, what was it, Philadelphia? And I think there was a stop before he'd gotten to Philadelphia. Was it Indianapolis or Tennessee that he had a double-digit sack season? Like, it can happen later in stages, later in a career for guys. Maybe Forrest is one of those from a baseball sense. I'm holding out hope, Seth. Holding out hope. Our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Yeah, those guys. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up next in headlines, I told you we have some organizational updates from the Astros. We'll get to that and some NFL news next. It's Sports Radio 610.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. Mom.